Now, we're doing a series on hope, and you'll notice that the word hope is not even in these verses. However, if you remember last week, I talked about it appears or seems to be that whenever the word hope is used, suffering and affliction and hardships is not far behind. In other words, the hope gives us the ability to stay focused on the kingdom when we're going through the hardships, trials, and pain and suffering. And so I want to look today at a different aspect of hope, and it's connected very much to God's presence in our lives. And I want us to remember, one thing I want you to take away from this sermon is that God is near. God is near. And we know this from the New Testament because God has put the Holy Spirit into our hearts. But one of the things that's interesting, many of you have the iPhones, and matter of fact, we're doing this on Facebook right now. We're streaming live. I love this FaceTime because you can connect with people that are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And you can do it, and you know, you see the person. Depending on your internet connection, sometimes it gets blurry, but then it clears up. But you can see and talk to the person. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about FaceTime with God. I want to talk, and I want you to realize that no matter how far away God is, it seems like God is near. And that's what the psalmist David is driving at here today. And first of all, he says this: God hears our cries in 34:17. And we look at our action. When the righteous cry for help. Cry is the Hebrew word for sagos. Sagos. It means to call out for help, or in sorrow, or in intense situations in life. Have you ever had those? Have you ever had those moments when it's been so intense, so hurtful? Does it look like this? Those moments when it just seemed like everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong. Those moments when you feel like God is so far away from you. And you look at the life of David, and there was things that he did that caused him problems. I understand that. But there were also times in David's life when he probably was like this. And there were times in his life when he felt like God was so far away. And again, some of this was brought on by himself. We understand that. But a lot of this was not, because he was the king of Israel. And there had to have been times like this for David. And in this psalm, he's saying, and usually you don't write something that's foreign to yourself. In other words, David was probably feeling this at the time. And he's talking about the righteous crying out to God. So David must have, in some sense, had the same feeling in his own heart. And God used it as he wrote this psalm. I want to remind us of something. That God knows your heart. I'm going to tell you, God knows exactly where you are today. He knows the depths. So when you feel like you're alone, and you feel like God is not there with you, and you feel like the situation is so overwhelming, I want to remind us all today that God knows that depth of hurt and pain and sorrow and hardship. He knows it. After all, weren't we created in the image of God? Doesn't God understand feelings? Doesn't God get sad? Doesn't the scripture talks about God being sad, the spirit crying, making God smile, God laughing? God has all of the attributes, the physical attributes that we have. So God, better than anyone, understands us. We need to keep that in mind, because that can really help us when we go through tough times. And he says here, when the righteous cry out for help. That was our response. And by the way, let me just say this. By the way, it is okay to cry out to God. I've heard people say, well, I don't really want to bother God. Well, God's in a personal relationship with you. It's okay to call out to him. It's okay. It's okay to say, God, I need help. I am hurting. and really should be the first resort, not the last resort. Now, when we do that, notice, and on your outline, you'll notice that there's three responses of God. And this is the first response. Watch what he says here. David writes, "The Lord hears and delivers them out of some of their trouble," right? No. What's the scripture say? The Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. I love this word, Lord. It's Yahweh, but it also conveys the idea of Adonai, which means my Lord. You do realize that God's personal with you, right? God is a personal God. He's not some transcendent God that you cannot get a hold of, that you cannot see, that you cannot feel. I think a lot of times we kind of pass this by casually, that God is sometimes so far removed he can't see where I'm at, or he doesn't really listen to me. And you say, well, there's billions of Christians in the world, or millions of Christians in the world. How could God take the time to listen to me and know my name and count the very hairs on my head and know my hurts and hardships? Well, that's why he's God. And yet God knows you. And so I want you to understand something, that when you talk to God, he listens. He is there. I think that's something to really nail down, because if we don't nail that down, then it just becomes a routine of, oh God, if you're there, if you listen. No, to know that God is listening and that he hears us. And by the way, the Hebrew word shama is the word for hears, and it means to process information. So here is what's happening. As you are talking to God, God is turning his ear towards you, and he's processing what you are saying to him. It's not as if God's just up there doing other things. God is listening to every word that you speak in your prayer when you're crying out to him. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but that's pretty comforting. And I'm telling you, as God's minister today and has studied the word and have preached many sermons, 27 years, 28 probably technically, 28 years of sermons, I can tell you confidently from Scripture that when you go to God and when you cry out to God, he does listen and he is processing what you say. See, the difference between a younger me and an older me is time to understand that God does fulfill what he says. And so I want you to understand this morning, no matter what you're going through in your life, God listens to you. Get that nailed down. That way you'll know when you're crying out to him, you'll know, I know that my Abba Father hears me. And I'm going to tell you something. That can change the way you handle the situation. You couples that are married, when your spouse communicates to you, one of the first things that Audrey says to me when she thinks I'm not listening is, are you listening? And I turn my attention to her. Well, I'm going to tell you, the moment that you start speaking, God is listening. And if you don't, listen. If you don't have that foundation, you don't really have anything. Think, I want you to get this image. His eyes, his face, in his ears. And when you speak, he turns. It says it right here. Not only does he do this, not only does he hear, but he also delivers. Insult. The root word, the Hebrew root word means to pull out or to draw out. It can be used in either context. But here it means to pull out. The hyphal verb in the Hebrew means this. Watch this. It means not only to pull out, but it means this. To snatch out. Not that God just casually goes down, and pulls out, but that God snatches. When we cry to him in the hardship and pain that God knows, he pulls us, he snatches us out. I want you to understand something. When you pray to God and you tell him, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm having all kinds of problems, I want you to understand that when you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And then God will snatch you out of the situation. You say, well, wait a minute. What if I've been in this situation for a long time? What if I've been going through this for a long time? Oh, but God hasn't snatched you out. What about that? Do you remember last week and the week before that I talked about that God lets us go through trials and hardships and pain so that we learn something through it? But I can tell you this, that when that trial is over and it has accomplished what it is supposed to have accomplished in your life, God will pull you out and you won't have to do anything. Every one of us in here have had times and situations in our lives when we have gone to God and said, man, you got to get me out of this. This is rough. But it didn't and didn't and didn't. And then all of a sudden, at some point, bam, you're out of it, right? God promises he will deliver you. It's in his word. Now, the word here, troubles, means distress. Sarah in the Hebrew. I want to look at some types of troubles that we have in this life. There's inner anguish and distress. Do you know what that is? It's when your insides, it just is so stressful. All of us have had periods like that. Distress is really when you're not sure what to do. But I can tell you, you're never wrong. You're never wrong if when you're in distress to go to God. You're never wrong. That should be number one, to go to him. Secondly, there's physical calamity. Stuff happens to us. We break bones. We have all kinds of problems going on with us physically. That stuff happens. That will happen to the saved and the unsaved alike. Everybody gets that. But that is a form of trouble, physical problems. There's situational dangers. Situational, maybe at work you're having problems with your boss, stuff like that. This is what that includes. Those are all types of troubles that we will get into. And yet, in all of these, at some point God will deliver us. At some point. You say, well, what if you're so sick, the physical calamity, and you're so sick that you might die? That's deliverance. That is deliverance. That's not the meanness of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is not our home. We are not destined to live here forever. So if you die as a result of a physical calamity, you're in the presence of Jesus Christ, and that's deliverance. That is being pulled out. That's being snatched. I know on this side of the fence, I've preached a lot of funerals too, and on this side of the fence, people hurt, and they're crying. But you got to realize something, that our hope is not in this world. Our hope was when we see Jesus face to face. So keep the troubles in context. Secondly, he draws near to the broken. I love what I'm getting ready to show you here in a minute. Look at verse 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. I want you to say this under your breath. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted means mind, soul of the inner self, but it also means to injure. And this is what the literal Hebrew translation means. To having a part of the body broken or fractured, usually as a hard tissue. I love what Gary Burnett said in his famous quote, being brokenhearted is like having broken ribs. On the outside, it looks like nothing's wrong, but every breath hurts. when you are crushed, when the situation looks hopeless, and when just, I'm going to tell you, back 1999, I was so disillusioned with ministry because of a church situation. So disillusioned. See, I thought that when you went into ministry, this was when I was called into the ministry, went to Bible college, I thought that when you went into ministry, everybody would love you. And I thought people were good. And I thought, you know, it was going to be great to be among other Christians and to worship and to minister. And you know what I found out after 4 quick years of my first full-time ministry? Some people are really mean. And I remember going through a very, I would get phone calls. I got a phone call one time. You know, it's like when Satan wants to mess with you, and then all of a sudden Satan just piles on you. I remember sitting on my steps one day, and a person called me who had just visited the church, and he said, why don't you look up this number? This scripture that I'm going to give you. So I looked it up, and it talked about the guy dying. The scripture talked about the guy dying. And he goes, oops, I gave you the wrong scripture. But then he started laughing. There were other things that happened in that church. The day I got a phone call and said, is this Reverend Michael Frazier? I said, yes, it is. And he said, I'm on my way to kill you. So I called the police department because we had a preschool. They went into lockdown. The police took me, and they kept me off to the side until they could trace the phone call. Through this whole process, I was so disillusioned. And it was a real deep place. And I said, Lord, you need to help me here because I don't know what this is all about. One day, by chance, I was listening to the radio. Charles Swindoll, you know that name, right? Charles Swindoll came on, and I could hear God responding to me through Charles Swindoll. So see, when sometimes, and it's true, it's all true of all of us, in those times when you're broken, don't you need a sign from God? And I've been a pastor about 4 years full time. I needed a sign from God. And even today, there's sometimes I still need that extra assurance that he's there with me. That was a sign from God. Because Charles Swindoll didn't know me from Adam, and he spoke directly to my situation, and it was like God was saying, I see this. Please know this, brothers and sisters. God, if you have a broken heart today, God is very near. God is very near you. He's close to you. In fact, he's closer to you than most people because God loves the brokenhearted. He cares for them. He ministers to them. And God knows where you are. Near in the sense of a relationship. Notice God's response to the brokenhearted. Not only does he deliver them, but he saves the crushed in spirit. Yasa means to deliver. But it doesn't only mean to deliver, but it means to deliver to a place of safety and security. This is a good image of this. This girl is in trouble, and the rescuer comes down and grabs her, presumably put her in a place of safety and security where they were able to take care of her. This could have been a very dangerous situation for this young lady. But this brave rescuer goes down and gets her out and pulls her to safety. I'm trying to figure out how many years I've been a Christian. It's quite a few. 35, 36. I'm going to tell you this. Every time it always looked the darkest, God delivered. I can say that truthfully. And this word right here is absolutely true. That God will deliver everything that He has promised to you. He has never failed me. And I bet you some of our older members that's been with Jesus a long time can tell the same thing. Right, Rosemary? Right, Kay? That God will take care of you and He will deliver every promise that He's ever made to you. I'm preaching to you from my heart now. Because this is one of the most important things because of the culture in which we live in, because of the times in which we live in. People are depressed. People are discouraged. People are downcast. People are brokenhearted. I'm going to tell you, look to God. He is near. He is with you. Do not go somewhere else. Go to Him first and listen to Him and build that relationship and trust Him. This is what I want you to do. In times of distress, when you're there, you remember we showed the picture of the girl, and then we showed the picture of the guy praying, and then we showed the picture of the girl being delivered. This is what you do in times of distress. Number one, absolutely. Number one, remember God is near. And I know that when you go home and when you get quiet time by yourself, I want you to remember that God is right there with you. Brothers and sisters, if we don't nail this down, we don't have anything. You do realize that, right? If we don't nail that down, you do not have anything. Because if God is not near, then I got to look somewhere else. I want you to understand God is near. When you leave here today, the one thing I want you to remember is God is near. Secondly, get in the Word. I'm not giving you something that's new or hasn't already been said. This is just basic stuff when you get into trouble. You get into this Word. You get into this Word so that God can get into you. So that He says, yes, I am here. And this is what my Word says. And I am amazed. I am amazed. I am befuddled by Christians who, when they are going through hardships and trials, they got nothing to do with that. They've got nothing to do with the Bible. Well, they're going to go and they're going to talk to everybody else. Rather than get into God's Word to draw strength and encouragement, they're just going to cast that aside. Oh, it's there for them. They may read it once a month or something, but they don't get into the Word of God, and they try to handle their troubles their own way. And guess what? You just flounder around in distress and hardships and trials, and you get worse. And then what gets really bad is when you get mad at God. Right? Why'd you do this? God did this guy right here. Wow. You mean all I got to do is trust You to deliver me? And one of the hardest things to do in the world when you're in hardships and trials and is to go, I think God's got this. That's the hardest thing to do. And I'm preaching to you as somebody that's failed at many, many times. But that's what we need to do. You know the best way to float is you just stretch out and float instead of kicking her. Just float, and that's what we need to do sometimes, because God will deliver us. He's promised. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the situation is. God's not going to let you sink, or He's not going to give you more than you can possibly handle. It may seem like it at times. I understand that. But He's not going to give you more than you can't handle. Pray and ask others for prayer. Lastly, and by the way, this is often not employed, asking others, particularly if you're an island unto yourself. I don't need anybody's help. You know, I'm sorry. We don't do life without help. We need the help of one another. And I know this body of Christ, we're going to have a prayer session right after this sermon. I've already asked the individual if we can pray for him. We're going to pray as a body of Christ. And it's okay. It's okay to tell your fellow brothers and sisters, I'm struggling, but I need you to pray for me. What do you think they're going to say? No, I'm not. They will pray for you. Pray and ask for prayers. Focus on what God is doing, not what is happening. And this was two sermons ago. Generally, what happens is when you're in trials and hardships and struggles, you do realize that God is doing something. Otherwise, you would be out of that situation. So when you're going through it, God is refining and defining your character. Let me say that again. When you are going through hardships, trials, and suffering, always, always, without question, God is refining and defining your character and turning you into the image of Christ. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you give me a situation, I'll say, if that's been going on for a while, God's trying to do something in your life. Otherwise, you'd be done. So when I was a younger Christian, this is what I wanted. When I was a younger Christian, I wanted a pain-free Christianity. I didn't want to hurt. How many of you have been there and done that? Thank you, Jan. There's a bunch of you. Wow! You want a pain-free Christianity. The problem is, if it's pain-free, there is no growth. And it took me a long time to connect those dots. I'm a little slower than the average person. But what I realized later on is, wait a minute, because whenever a hardship or trial came along, you know what I wanted to do? I want out of that thing, because that hurts. But then as I've gotten older, and I'm almost afraid to say this because something else will come along, but as I've gotten older, I realized that, you know what, no matter what you do, all your plans, all your schemes, all your things to get out of this usually don't work out anyway. And if it does, this is something else that I've learned, that when you get out of the situation and you weren't supposed to get out of the situation, guess what's going to come when you open the next door? The same situation is going to hit you in the face, because God's not going to let you get out of it until he's accomplished what he wants to. So that's tough. And I realized that's tough. That's very hard. God will deliver you. Verse 19, and we're going to close this thing up. And will deliver us in our situation. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many can mean, it means abundant, but it can be the continuing of including many parts, which I found interesting. Afflictions, by the way, the word here can refer to evil affliction. It can apply to sadness. It can apply to distress. All of these things happen to the righteous or the upright. Do you know God's people have always endured hardship? Do you know that? Back in the Old Testament, you know who got messed with all the time? God's people. The Israelites, the Jews. They always got messed with. To use a newer version of it, do you remember this? Hitler, 1,000-year Reich. You know where he got that from? You know where Hitler got the 1,000-year Reich from? The 1,000-year reign of Christ. And so what Hitler decided to do was, he was going to create the master race. And he was going to exterminate all the Jews, God's people. God responded big time against Hitler, didn't he? You say, well, it was by the European Union and it was by the United States. Yeah, but God acted us to move and acted nations to put down this guy who, in essence, believed he was God and could make these decisions. So if anybody understood the writings of David at the time, the Hebrews understood it. The Jews understood it. They understood suffering much better than we do because they've always suffered as a people. And they've always suffered because of their relationship to Yahweh, to Adonai. Always. And guess what? You and I, as believers in Christ, we will suffer because of our relationship to Him. Always. Truth about affliction. Number one, trials will come. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. James 1:2. Persecution will come. Those who wish to live a godly life will be persecuted. 2 Timothy 3:12. We will be hated. Jesus said, if the world hates you, don't worry about it. They hated me first. Do you know why they hate us? Because we love people. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? They hate us because we love people. And there's only one way to God. That's the other reason that they hate us. Satan will attack us. James 4:7. Stand against the devil and he will flee. James 4:7. By the way, on Wednesday nights, we're going through the spiritual warfare with Chip Ingram. You're welcome to come for that on Wednesday nights. Number five, we will have troubles. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this life you will have trouble. That doesn't sound happy 4th of July. This doesn't sound good, but you know what? That's what they didn't tell me when I signed up with Jesus. I had to find out the hard way. After I got saved, I was in an old army chaplain abandoned at Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas. And I went back to my friends, the spiritual pacifier still in my mouth, and I said, I got saved. My beer-drinking buddies that would go out to the bar looked at me like I was from Mars. Oh, you got religious. I said, no, I got saved. It was like I had the plague. You're going to have troubles just because you're connected to Jesus. Notice God's response. But the Lord delivers them out of them all. I want to leave you with this image. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. This is the verses just before, 34, 15, and 16. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous. The face of the Lord is against those who do wickedness. If your trial or hardship or pain or suffering is because of somebody else, know this. God sees it. And our God in Scripture is called a roaring lion. I want you to know that that lion, our Father and our Savior, is looking at you today. And He knows exactly where you are. And I would rather have Him on my side. Because I know that the God of this world can deliver little old me out of a situation. I hope I've given you something to think about. But I tell you this, God is near. The next time that you pick up your phone and you want to FaceTime somebody, you remember this, that's the image I want you to get, is that God is near. And no matter what the situation befalls you, no matter where you are in this life, I want you to, and it could happen this afternoon, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen next week, where you're in a situation where you are scared to death, you're distressed, and I want you at that point to just look at your phone and remember, this FaceTime reminds me that God is with me. And I want you to stay strong. And I hope that this message has encouraged you. And I hope that it's given you some things to think about. But the big thing I want you to know is that God lives inside of you. And that He is there with you. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Trust that God will deliver you.